Sure, that would have been maybe April of last year. And I was playing drums with a guy, Sonny and the Sunsets, with my good friend Sonny Smith. And we were flying to New York the next day. And I was playing with my band, and Sonny and I was also playing drums with Sonny Smith in his band. Both of us were playing a gig or two in New York. And over the years, you know, my paranoia has gotten. I'm just not a good flyer like I used to be. I never really was, but I've gotten worse as I've gotten older and felt like, you know, maybe I had more possessions that I didn't want to lose or whatever. You know, so this the idea of rather than sit around the house counting down the hours before bed before this early flight to New York, which I usually do in various states of panic, my girlfriend said, you know, let's go out. Let's try something different. Why don't we go out, have a couple drinks, see if that calms your mind and kind of takes you out of your psychosis. So we went to this bar where I go, and it's a comfortable place to be. And the opera thing was going on, and I had a glass of wine, and it felt pretty good. And I was like, yeah, I feel good. Maybe I'll have another one. And I had another glass of wine, and I thought, I'm not worried about this flight at all anymore. I don't care. I could go, just take me to the airport now, babe. Let's do it, you know? So that was kind of the setting. It was there was fear and relief, and meanwhile, sort of in a David Lynchian way, this group of opera singers were singing about 8 feet away, and they perform at this club, The Right Spot, and they do it once a month or something, and it's like professionals who just kind of come up in their jeans and sing opera, and they have a video screen that's showing opera greatest hits, you know, scenes from Tosca or Madame Butterfly or whatever, various operas over the years with subtitles as they're singing. And one of the songs, I think a tenor guy was kind of wailing away like they do in opera, you know, and the subtitle for that was ah, exclamation, etc. And I don't know, something about that little subtitle made me laugh because it just seemed like it was like what this person was emoting and what they were saying. It must have been more than just et cetera, you know? It must have been deeper than that. And I don't know, for some reason it struck a chord with me about sort of the struggle of life and the pointlessness and all of it. And it all just sort of made sense to me, as I was sitting there, sort of quaking with my own self-induced fears about flying and drinking and my last night on Earth, potentially, you know? So it all sort of tied together that way.
And I wanted to know,
Well,
you mentioned that you were just sitting at a bar writing it down. Are you the kind of guy that's always carrying a notebook around you, looking for things around the world to kind of inspire you, or just you grabbed a napkin and that was it?
yeah, I grabbed a napkin. I've always tried to get organized with a little notebook, you know, and I've bought myself one and left it on my desk, you know, next to where I read magazines or books, and if there's a good line. And then it gets moved into the studio, and then stuff gets piled on, and I never find it again, you know. I'm not good with carrying it around. And as a result, I probably have pretty good antenna, you know, so they're up and they're listening to what conversations at the next table or saying or picking out headlines in the newspaper, or it's really conversations and friends can say things, or I can say something to someone that's like, you know, you store it away or you speak it into your phone or something. There's some way of remembering that, wow, I can write that song in 5 minutes. I know just what I know. That's such a poetic sentence. You know, I had a song on an Antique Glow record that was really the first time I learned to listen. And we were talking about fish, and my friend said, you know, yeah, I mean, underwater is where the action is. And it was kind of like, wow, underwater is where the action is. I can write that song in minutes, you know. So that was sort of the first time I learned to listen in a way that will help you do it, does the work for you a lot if you just listen. It doesn't have to be a big struggle. You know, when I started writing songs at 15, I thought you had to sit at a desk with a blank page and conjure this stuff. And maybe it works for Leonard Cohen or Bob Dylan or some genius. But for me, it's a lot easier if someone gives you a little clue on where to start.
And what was it about this particular record that wanted you to encapsulate that idea from the title? I mean, why didn't you name Hard Feelings, R, etc. instead?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. It just, you know, I had this artwork of the colored pieces of paper on the floor, and I knew I wanted to use that. It kind of looked like an abstract Dave Brubeck old jazz record cover to me. And I thought it was a cool looking cover. And I guess trying to think about the jazz relationship to records, I thought about Charles Mingus has a record called And so that juxtaposition of that jazz style artwork and then having that etc. in my mind, I thought, well, that's like a Mingus. This looks a bit like the Mingus record. So this is a perfect sort of play on that Mingus title as well. And so that's why those two went together.